Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, the original.
Yeah.
With your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Worshipful Brother Joe.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
And we have a new intro that I'm going to be putting on this. Well, yes. If you're listening to this, you heard it. It was per request of Joe.
It's a good one. And it's public domain, so we don't have to worry about getting shut down. I mean,
what is it?
There are many names for this.
Oh, God.
It is... The correct name is like also Sprague Zarathustra or something.
What?
2001 Space Odyssey.
Theme. Oh, okay.
Or Ric Flair's theme song.
Ah.
And it was done in like the late 1800s, so it's well within the public domain.
Oh, yeah. Both good usages of that tune, too.
Yes. I may say especially so Ric Flair.
Yeah. All right. I love it.
Anyway, love it. We're up here. Episode what, Ken?
We're on 237. George,
237, and we're doing Edgar Allan Poe in Freemasonry, specifically the cask of armadillo or whatever the hell it's called.
Amontadillo, whatever, you difference. Literary moron.
Wow, moron. That's right. I thought we were talking like Scott Levy from ECW Raven. I was a little misinformed. Didn't realize it was Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, we got a one starter.
Oh boy, let's start with that.
I already know where that is. Let's start with that.
Should I crack a beer at 10 a.m.
is this that fantasy football guy?
Oh
yes, yes it is.
It is.
Yep. And he gave us a 5-star review for something we had nothing to do. So I'm going to read this 1-star review and then we're going to put it out there and we're going to dispel this one. So yeah. Bad experience, 1-star review. Okay, the actual podcast isn't bad. Well, thank you. So you're gonna put a 1-star review on the thing. Nice, thanks. They have a Discord server that you invited to join, and it's a bunch of Trump supporters. Wow, boy, you're really wow.
Generalizing.
Otherwise known as domestic terrorists.
Oh God!
Wow,
that's pretty
bold. Wow, who constantly post political memes even though they say they not to. I was booted out, didn't think... That's because you stopped paying, which, Joe, tell them how to get on it.
For as little as $5 a month, you two can join Patreon and get access to our exclusive Discord server. Again, for as little as $5 per month. Not a one-time fee, right. Not a Monopoly money thing. It's actual money, $5. Mm. Although I guess it does convert from pounds because we do have people from overseas and other parts of the world. But it's $5 per month. You got to pay to play.
Pay your dues or you get dropped NPD.
I don't think they liked my extreme liberal views. Listen, man, it's a conversation no different than a freaking lodge after a lodge meeting. Then I joined a fantasy football league, and they blatantly cheated by kicking me off the league when I placed first at the end of the season. When I tried to discuss it with them on Facebook, they kicked me out. These brothers have given me a very bad taste of Freemasonry. Okay, so a couple things. We're going to talk about this real fast, and we're going to clear.
I think we should talk about it a little bit longer than fast. I got some things to say.
So, number one, the Fantasy Football League, regardless if you get number one or you get last place, the money that you are supposed to pay...
That you're supposed to pay.
Supposed to pay toward it goes to a charity.
Of the winner's choice.
So
you don't actually, get... Just to clarify, let me jump in, because I have some really strong opinions on this.
Go ahead.
It's not that...
You win, you get the money, and you give it to charity. Nope. The money goes, in essence, into escrow.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
If you win, yep. you then let the commissioner know what charity you would like it to go to.
Correct.
He makes the payment and yep. sends out a receipt to everyone in the league showing,
correct.
So-and-so won, this is their charity of choice, here's the receipt that we paid them.
Correct.
Pretty fair.
Period.
Correct.
Now I have a question for you, George.
Yes, go ahead.
This money
yep.
that goes into this pool
yep.
for the winner to donate to charity,
uh-huh.
does that come out of thin air?
No.
Where does that come from?
They pick it off the money tree in the back of our lodge.
Oh, that like the old Phil Rizzuto money tree?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ancient Freemason gold.
No, that comes from the participants, yes?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So, if you want to participate, you must, once again, pay. Again, this is not some kind of... It's a fantasy league, but the money's not a fantasy. It's actual money paid into by the participants, knowing that they're never going to see a dime of it. It's going to go to somebody's charity.
So let me now, Joe,
yes,
if I may. If
may.
I may. All right.
But I reserve the right to jump back in.
Trump supporters.
Sounds like a flam to me.
Trump supporters, domestic, a.k.a. domestic terrorists. Let me just real quick here, okay?
Is that like that custard stuff that they make in
there? Yeah, flam. Yeah,
okay.
It's my favorite.
Let me just say, okay, Trump supporters, domestic terrorists, right? We're synonymous, right? No, not really. Secondly,
I'm not even
a Trump supporter anymore either. He's done.
It's over with.
Like,
Jesus Christ.
It's over. I moved on.
Verifiably, there is at least one, possibly two or more brothers that are part of the Discord server that are not, in fact, Trump supporters.
I'm just saying. So number one, all right, let me just throw by saying, so you were pissed off that you didn't actually get money in your hand for a charitable cause. One. Two, you labeled people who, I mean, did I support Trump? Yeah. Do I anymore? No. Why? Because he's not even in the political ski. He's not even in the political fucking world anymore. He's just an asshole on the side now, like past presidents. Two.
That was true.
And three, so you're had a bad taste that had nothing to do with the podcast. It had to do with brothers in a Discord that's attached to the podcast. So you give the podcast a 5-star review. Or excuse me, you give the podcast a 1-star review because you had a bad experience in Discord for the fact that you got pissed off you didn't get money for a charity thing that wasn't even going to you. It's not charity to you. It's charity to a charity. And that's been done how many times? This is our third season. We've done fantasy football. Yeah. I won the first one, and I donated mine to a charity. But again, I didn't actually touch the money. There's not a dime that went into my account at all.
Yeah.
So, who's the asshole in all this?
I are we allowed to say his name?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
that's the
asshole that left the review. How about that?
I'm just
Does
saying.
Does he have his name on the review?
No, it doesn't. It's just something JT Reddit, which instantly is weird.
Okay.
You know, so, if you're on Reddit, it's, I mean, whatever. Reddit
JT
is just
Reddit
a bunch of
the asshole.
Bunch of people.
So
who,
let me.
So I'm just saying, like, who is being un-Masonic here?
Right.
And not to mention, Joe, if there's ever been a problem in the Discord server, and anybody in Discord and even on the podcast can attest to this, and even the Facebook pages, if there's ever been a problem, what has everybody always done? They come to
us. And they work it out.
And we make an executive decision on something.
Right. Right.
There was never any contact with us about, hey, I'm having a problem with this, I'm having a problem with that. It was literally leave the server, which, by the way, left the server before the fantasy football started. And I'm sorry, I do, if you're not a paying member of Discord and you're not a paying member of Patreon, I'm going to remove you. I do it all the time. I make a funny little thing where I do like my face doing the purge, and you know, we call it the annual purge, you know, because the movie Purge. And I get rid of them if they're on there and they're not supposed to be, because it's not fair to the brothers who pay every month, every year, or however they freaking pay. It's not fair to keep them.
It's like getting dropped MPD from Lodge if you don't pay.
Yeah,
it's like it's the same.
So,
but here's the thing, though. So you're not paying your $5 a month Discord, okay?
Correct.
So you get off of Discord. You get passed up on. Just like if you stop paying your car payment, they're coming to take your car. So you didn't pay your Discord, so you were off. And then
you didn't pay your fantasy football.
You enter a contest that you never paid the entrance fee for. And then complain when you don't get the money that you were never going to get, even if you had paid the fee, because it's going to charity. It's like going up, you go to a restaurant, you stiff the valet guy, okay, and you walk in. You go in, and you eat the meal, and you walk out without paying, and you go on freaking Yelp and give them a one-star review because the food was bad. Are you kidding me right now?
And because they left a bill on your table.
Are you freaking kidding me right now? And then they ask you not to come back because you did that. So and then it's their fault.
Yeah, you put a one-star review on for a podcast that, oh, by the way, and us three in the podcast, yes, do we play the fantasy football? Yes, but do we have any control over it?
I came in freaking last place.
Yeah, you guys did pretty terribly.
I came in freaking last place. So you want to say it's rigged or fixed? Like, come on, man.
And he tried.
Come on. And I tried.
Yeah, he tried.
That's the worst thing is I tried really hard. And I came in last freaking place.
Oh, shit.
Come on.
And
I'm just saying.
You paid the entrance fee, too. Amazing.
And I paid the entrance fee.
The beginning of the season when it was
before the season even started.
So, these, quote, brothers have given me a bad taste in Freemasonry. All right, so I'm not going to lie. You've given me a bad taste in Freemasonry. So it's right back at you because in the way, from my point of view, rather than coming to me like a brother and talking to me about it, you chose to go the ladder, and this is go full nuclear. Or in Tropic Thunder's case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can't say it.
You went full something
else.
Yeah,
you can't say it. But it's like, if I picked the winning lottery numbers, but I never bought a ticket, did I really win?
No. You bought the ticket. You just didn't pay for the ticket. It's like you got the ticket.
Okay.
But you didn't. You didn't
but he never really got the ticket because he was never really in it.
Took the ticket and went, thank you.
Right. Like, come on.
So, I'm sorry.
Get your head out of your ass.
Judge? Judge's ruling, boys.
Wow.
Well, as the official judge of Discord, which I was appointed by Gangrene, I have reviewed the evidence in front of me, and I have found no wrongdoing on the part of the podcast, the commissioner, Jim Devaney, brother Jim Devaney, or anyone involved. I fully find this person that left the review, he needs to go look in the mirror, stop looking for freaking handouts, and stop trying to claim a prize that you were never in because you never paid the entrance fee.
Yeah. So, with that being said,
the judge has reprehended
justice. Judge has reprehended justice. You didn't wear your wig, but...
That's okay. Damn it, that made me angry.
Yeah, so rather than a vivat, we're going to give you a boo. Done. Anyway, moving on. Five-star review followed right after it.
I really wish this was live so we'd get some live comments.
Oh, God.
Taco Man 773, five-star review. Thank you, brothers, for helping to reach a wider audience. I am an FC at Glen Burnie Lodge 213 in Maryland, and you in your podcast helps to explain and fill gaps that are not necessarily fully explained along the way. Thank you, brothers.
Oh, we feel gaps, all right.
Thank you, brother. And we love your taste in food as well.
Taco Man.
Those are delicious.
So, anyway, did we get all that out, Joe? Do we feel like we...
No. It's gonna spill over to the rest of the show.
So while we're on gripes and complaints...
Oh, that's good. Okay, let's go.
While we're on grievances.
Pick a good day to come back.
Yeah. While we're on gripes and grievances...
Yeah, let's go. Gripes and grievances.
I'm not going to be too egregious. All I'm going to say is, I'm really not actually, because I did email a certain podcast that decided to use a name that's already clearly posted all over the damn place. I emailed them and I said, you know, and I'll read my email aloud so that everyone can be privy to it, if you will. Let me find it. So you guys just fill the gaps while I'm looking for it.
So, I mean, I don't... We have been around for about 4 years now, right?
Correct.
Not 5 years.
And as of the 6th of January.
Yeah, last episode we said 5 years. That was a mistake.
We're off by a year. COVID. Yeah, yeah, we'll blame COVID for that.
Yeah, COVID. Time doesn't have any meaning anymore. But at any rate, we have been around for a while now. And I believe our name has been the same since the inception of the podcast.
Correct.
Yes, since episode one.
Yeah.
Since one. Episode zero.
2019.
George gave a little 30-second intro of what he wanted to do.
And even back then, we did a little Google search just to kind of make sure that nobody
I
else
did my homework. But for instance, I didn't call this the Freemasons Roundtable. I didn't call this the Freemasons Stairs. Yeah. I didn't call this...
Freemasons Slight.
I didn't call it the Freemasons Knox. I made damn sure that this
call
name...
What grinds my gears?
I'm just saying, I veered away from using certain names because I think that's extremely un-Masonic
to hijack...
somebody else's thunder.
Also, we're not doing this for like any kind of financial gain. No, we're doing this to spread the word of Freemasonry, and so are all of those other podcasts.
So
no, because we make our money off of the Fantasy Football League.
Exactly. So this is what I wrote.
Yeah. Sure do. Look at me. I'm rolling in it over here. We don't even have heat in this building.
This is what I wrote.
We're freezing our butts off.
So this is what I wrote to this said podcast. Good evening, brothers. I am reaching out to you in hopes we can speak about your podcast. You were using the name the Freemasons Podcast in your title. You may not have been aware, but the start of this podcast, I said 5 years ago, but it's been four, whatever. Already called the Freemasons Podcast. I have not copywritten the name because I do not believe using the name of Freemasonry or any of the symbols I have not copywritten the name because I do not believe using the name of Freemasonry or any of our symbols should ever be copywritten, and this is a universal symbol and name for all of us. However, in the interest of brotherly love and fairness, I do humbly request you change that particular part of your name as well, so that not every Masonic podcast out there is overlapping. Please feel free to reach out to me so we can discuss this at any time. And I attached an image of our very first episode.
God help them if they listen to that one.
And I said,
that was really well written.
Thank you in brotherly love, right worship brother, George Mudry, past district deputy, Grand Lodge, state of Connecticut.
Yeah. I was very.
I had to make it official. I didn't want to just be like some Joe Schmo.
Trying to pay you a compliment over here.
Okay, go ahead. I'll listen. I love compliments. Go ahead.
It was surprisingly well written, even keeled, and not misspelled in any way. I mean, I thought it was a really, really good email.
Yep. Because again, this is not about. This is not about monetary anything, contrary to popular belief.
Or fame and notoriety.
Or fame and notoriety.
No, certainly.
We don't have any freaking heat right now.
And I wanted to read that email aloud so that if there is ever a problem down the road where a particular podcast that has a lot of weight decided to make a mention of it to another Grand Lodge that particularly has a lot of weight, I can show that I approached it. I show that I approached it very Masonically.
I don't foresee that being the case either. Like, we're all brothers here. We're now, just trying to reach an audience, and all of us have different audiences too, right? All those podcasts that you mentioned or kind of like loosely mentioned there, they all have different demographics.
Yes.
And we're all trying to do the same.
Now, here's the thing, okay? Did I copyright it? No, I did not copyright the Freemasons Podcast. I don't believe it. However, I did do something else that does carry a little bit of weight to it as well. So, as long as everybody plays nice in the sandbox, so will I.
Would you buy a billboard?
No, I didn't buy a fucking billboard.
Because that would be awesome. I'd love to see
my point
name, my
is,
face on a billboard.
I do have a little bit of legality to stand by. That's all I'm going to say. And we'll leave it at that. With that also being said, if you're going to create a podcast, you're going to create something, do your homework. It took me weeks to look through every single Masonic podcast to be sure that I wasn't overlapping a name or stealing a thunder. And we even went as far as changing the format of other Masonic podcasts, which that's great. They're very structured and they're very serious. And they talk about, and that's cool. I think that's great, you know, because we need that.
That's their thing.
That's their thing,
and that, so, there's an audience for
so
that.
So that I wasn't going to overlap it, you know, we made this a little bit more explicit. We swear. We show the lighter side of Freemasonry with not the extreme end of it. Or not end of it, because that's not really... I tried to keep within due bounds.
Yeah, well, this is more like after Lodge, a bunch of brothers get together kind of...
Real people type situations rather than informational. Yeah. It is fucking cold up here, let me just say.
Yes.
It's a little chilly.
My hands are freezing.
No, but we're definitely swimming up
and
here.
And I'm lower to the ground.
In a swimming pool full of gold doubloons like Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, God.
Holy
with
shit.
With no heat.
Anyway, so I just wanted to say that that I, and again, the nice thing is that we've got 4 years behind our belt with the name. That's pretty much, if you type in a search, we're going to be the first to pop up. But this other podcast has a little bit more money, if you will, and
that don't buy us out.
They can buy their way to the top.
And maybe they could pay their entry fee to the fantasy football thing next year.
Maybe we could get some heat up here after.
Okay, send heat. You can keep the name. Send heat. Yeah.
If you want to take the name, I mean, I'll take $150K a person.
Cash us out. That's all. Cash I could use some money.
We'll change the name to Three Idiots. With Three Idiots in an Ice Box. Fantasy football. Come on. Help me out.
What, are we looking for a new name for the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, we'll go.
Bamboozlers.
Exactly. Fantasy football, flim flam.
Freemasonry, damn. Flim flam.
Quick, do a cursory Google search and make sure it's not taken.
I'm fairly certain Freemasonry.
Why?
Flim
Nobody
flam
else bothered. No.
Triple F.
First thing I'm doing, once we change the name, once the... Oh, Jesus Christ. The monitor's out. Oh, there we go. First thing I'm doing when we change the name, one star review right off the top. I don't like Joe because he's got a sandy beard.
I don't like George because he actually pays his entry fees and lives up to his obligations. I'm trying to tear down another brother.
We should all give each other one-star reviews.
We should. Oh, please don't give us all one-star reviews.
No. That's our job.
It's our job.
We're our own toughest critics.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we going to ever get to Edgar Allan Poe at this point?
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
why not?
We're only 21 minutes in.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
We're gonna
our way up to
half
it.
Half and
all
half
we do
half
is
half.
Talking shit the entire time.
Oh, back to our roots.
Now we know how angry Edgar Allan Poe was when he wrote The Cask of
Umbrella. And when he chopped his ear off.
That was Van Gogh.
Yeah.
I thought it was. What did Edgar Allan Poe do?
He buried some chick in a wall or something.
He's
with a clock.
He just had like an impressive amount of depression, dude. He didn't cut his ear off.
Oh, that maybe it was Van Gogh then.
Yeah, it was.
That's somebody lost
that. Maybe it was.
Go on, Joe. I know you got something.
You know, you come up with these topics, too. You would think you would know a little bit.
I don't. I just know that again, when I searched this topic, it was you know, Edgar Allan Poe is kind of a dark guy.
He's a very dark guy.
Yeah. And I don't know how I got onto the looking him up or whatever, but I just kind of was like, huh, I wonder if Freemasonry and Edgar Allan Poe ever crossed paths. And sure as shit, what do I Google? Yeah. Boom, the Cask of Armadillo pops up.
A Montadillo. And also, he was a 19th century author. And, like, Freemasonry works its way into all literature from the 1900s, or 1800s, I'm sorry, if you go through.
I can't hear you.
I
keep saying it just
to piss him off. Okay. Oh, that's what... Okay, it's a game. It's a game.
Ken's going to flip the whole damn dais.
Am,
like,
yeah.
It's fucking out of it. Or I'm going to keep saying it until I finally get him to say Armadillo.
Don't you besmirch the name of EAP.
What?
EAP, man. Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, I have an acronym for his name.
I thought it was a totally different acronym. Anyway.
He was goth before goth was cool.
Oh, shit. All right. Anyway, let's get into Ed Gallagher.
Might as well do our topic, yeah.
All right, let's get into the topic. So this actually comes from TravelingTemplar.com, and it's the cask of...
Don't do it.
Armadillo.
Damn it.
Edgar Allan Poe, patricide and anti-Masonic rhetoric.
Yeah, patricide means killing your father.
Really?
Yes, that is what it means.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I was going to say something about fantasy football, but I'm alone. By brother Wayne E. Ross. First published in 1846, Edgar Allan Poe's The Cask of Amontillado is a perennial favorite among scores of readers. Poe's work of horror have influenced writers for more than 150 years and continue to thrill those who read him for a very first time. Ooh, it is cold up here. Well, much of what is read in the works like The Cask of Amontillado is enjoyed for the surface-level murder and mental mayhem. A further examination from the different perspective reveals a much more complex and disturbing narrative. Ooh, I like it already. Upon the page, The Cask of Amontillado clearly illustrates Montresor's calculated, albeit whimsical, murder of his enemy Fortunato. Even the most curiously understanding of the life of Edgar Allan Poe reveals that this is a work meant to strike back on some level at his repressive and domineering father, John Allen. Interesting. Yep. By the way, I apologize for my reading. It's so cold up here. I'm literally shaking. I don't know how you're in a friggin' t-shirt.
Because I'm hard, man.
Maybe I thought you were just because you were hot from the fantasy football thing.
Well, it's
you're warming from the inside.
I have been compared to Heat Miser at times because of my gingerness, but yeah. I'm good. All that heat will keep me warm.
Poe was adopted by Allen in 1812 and took his surname, but none of Allen's business sense would eventually preclude Poe from inclusion into Allen's will. While strained relationships are nothing new between fathers and sons, another contributing factor in the spill between the pair was Allen's state as a predominant businessman, as well as being an unfaithful husband to a frequently ill wife. John Allen most certainly conducted his business at home and home life in a manner more offensive than the artistic and independent Poe could stomach. Near the end of John Allen's life, their relationship was so strained that Allen would send no money or any other form of assistance to Poe, no matter how tenuous the situations may be. It is clearly due to events like these that Poe cast his now dead father in a role of Fortunato, the affluent and arrogant Freemason.
Ugh.
So he's making Fortunato the Freemason. Much has been made to support the idea of patricide, notably Poe's use of the motto of Scotland, Nemo...
Yeah, good luck.
Are you reading it too, Ken?
I read it.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't pronounce it, so...
Mem plus... Whatever the hell. Some big word. Read it yourself. As Monstressor's family motto. Translated, this motto means, no one attacks me with impunity. A slap at Allen's Scottish heritage, as well as Poe may well have seen as years of abuse from Allen. Now it's time for Poe to get his revenge in the manner that suits him best. But this personal attack upon a cold and uncaring father figure is also layered with Vale's attacks upon the institution of Freemasonry as well. Interesting.
I think so. The protagonist's name is pronounced Montresor.
Montresor?
Montresor.
All right.
Yeah, Montresor.
I think it's Italian, so maybe Joe Pisani can probably correct me on that, but I think it's Montresor.
Upon a cure, this is the spiral staircase. Mm-hmm. Upon a cursory first reading.
Cursory.
Cursory, thank you.
I already used that word in this podcast already.
upon our cursory?
Cursory.
First reading. Poe's use of a winding staircase to take the two men down into the catacomb seems like an architectural aspect befitting the time period. In reality, the significance of the spiral staircase in Masonic teaching is one by which Freemasons learn and progress to further knowledge and light.
We go up, not down.
God damn it.
But that's why he's descending into darkness.
Read on.
Read on.
Did you even read this article?
No, I didn't. I read it with the reader, with the listeners.
You're too cursory.
Yeah, far too cursory.
I got some curse words for you.
I know you do.
Where did I leave off? I was so rudely interrupted.
Down the winding stairs.
No. More than a mere rhetorical device, or rhetoric.
Rhetorical
device. What Poe has literally done is taken his father, and in this case, the character of Fortunato, down the staircase into increasing darkness and further away from ascending light and knowledge. Okay. All right.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
With one stroke of the quill, Poe has stripped Fortunato of the degrees in which he had worked so hard to attain and brought him down to his level. The further that Fortunato is led into the darkness, the sicker he becomes, whereby Poe has reversed much of the core tenets of Freemasonry and how one attains enlightenment. As the motif of darkness continues, even the murderous Montressor finds himself unable to work his way through the darkness as he endeavored to pry into the depths of the recess. Its termination, the feeble light did not enable us to see. No longer are we dealing with light or knowledge or the three great lights, but instead the only aid is a feeble light which has no strength to pierce the darkness that surrounds them. Although not in a physical peril, Montressor's obsession with the death of Fortunato has led his soul into darkness and eternal damnation that he will surely meet for the murder he's about to commit. The fear of damnation is clear to the reader primarily because both the beginning and the ending paragraphs read as if Montressor is giving a deathbed confession. Okay, so let's break that part down. So basically what I'm gathering from this is basically by being an evil person, he damned himself as well. By wanting to kill somebody, he basically sealed his own fate. It's kind of what I'm perceiving. Is that kind of what you guys are getting?
In a way, and it sounds like as he's telling the story, it doesn't sound like he's coming off as bragging. It's like a confession. It's like a coming clean. It's like almost like a forgive me.
Right.
This is what I've done.
It's like when you don't pay for fantasy football and then you leave a one-star review in a sense.
Yeah, kind of like that. I mean, what I think is funny about this whole tale, because like we could easily go recreate this in the room next door. So, so a guy gets pissed off at his buddy for making fun of him and insulting him.
Right.
Gets him drunk and locks him in a room.
Yeah, so we have a chamber of reflection. It's like, actually a brick wall.
We could recreate
too. We could actually.
You were there last Saturday night?
No, I've just seen the inside before. And we have a trowel.
We insult each other all the time.
All the time.
We should get George drunk.
We should. We have a bottle of wine down there, too. Remember? Yeah. I found it earlier.
Because he insulted us.
Perfect. We're going to recreate.
How did I insult you?
I don't know. Constantly. It's been going on for years.
Yeah, and you have all that money from cheating at fantasy football, so we're jealous.
I can't think of one in particular.
On the podcast?
I'm sure. Go back and
absolutely.
Listen to 237 absolutely. Episodes. I'm sure you've insulted me at one
sure.
point.
Sure.
Probably happened earlier today, and I don't even remember.
Like, what the fuck is he going with this?
You've never besmirched me.
What does that mean?
It's like a fancy word that people use for insulting.
We've used that term
besmirched my reputation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like if I were to join a fantasy football league and not pay and then attack the commissioner for not paying me.
You're besmirching.
I would be besmirching the commissioner of the fantasy football league.
Let's just keep using big words until eventually they absorb into Georgia.
That's outlandish.
All right, let's get back into this. Let's get back into the story.
Reprehensible.
Let's get back into the story about the armadillo.
Perplexing, even.
The trowel, quotes, be it so. The next instance in the veiled attack upon Freemasonry, albeit the clearest of all, occurs when two men are finally down in the catacombs in Fortunato, surprises Montressor with a sign of fidelity and brotherhood. And this is a quote from the story. He laughed and threw the bottle upwards with a gesticulation I did not understand. I looked at him in surprise. He repeated the movement, a grotesque one. Do you not comprehend? Okay, so first off, what's gesticulation?
Gesticulation.
Whatever.
Like you're gesturing like this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, see, I had a different picture in my mind. If he's gesturing with the bottle, pretty much telling him to go screw, I'm thinking he's got like a DX thing going on. Yeah. Right? I didn't know what that meant.
There's no video, so sorry.
I thought gesticulation was like when
there will be
later. Oh, that's flatulation. Sorry.
Oh.
Gastrointestinal issue.
Gastrointestinal. That's what I thought, right? Yeah. Is that where you're not?
No, I was thinking gyration in my head, which is why he's making gyrations with the bottle. Go, yeah, get in those catacombs. Deep in the recesses.
Oh, my God.
Oh, all the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So do you not comprehend? This is going off the
Maybe
rails.
Maybe we don't want to recreate this.
Do you not comprehend, he said. No, not I replied. Then you are not of the Brotherhood. How? ? You are not of the Masons. Yes, I said. Yes. You, impossible. A Mason? A Mason, I replied. A sign, he said. A sign. It is this, I answered, producing from beneath the folds of my roquelaire a trowel. You jest, he exclaimed, recoiling a few paces. But let us proceed to the Amontadillo. Be it so, I said, replacing the tool beneath the cloak and again offering him my arm. Okay.
So basically the guy's like, you know, the Fortunato, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is like drunk, obviously. And he's clearly. Like, he made some kind of vaguely Masonic gesture. And the protagonist was like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And he's like, nah, there's no way you know what this is. You're not of the Masons. And he's like, oh, no, yeah, I am.
This feels like we should do something with the green screen because, like, we get out Joe all drunk. He could be the guy. Be like, are you a Mason? Yes, I am. Lifts up his apron, and we're all like, oh!
Behold my trowel. Spreading the cement of brotherly love and friendship. Oh, that never gets old. Behold, a plumb line. Not hanging so straight.
Jesus Christ. Oh, I missed you, Broseph.
Even Aaron's beard.
Oh, my God.
The trip's down. I
know. That shit off right there.
Oh, shit. It's got to be the cold. It's getting to us.
God almighty. All right. I could definitely see that happening with the green screen, though. Jesus, God. Give me help. All right. Here we are confronting with the clear evidence of Poe's negative view of the practices of Freemasonry. Much effort has been made by scholars to identify Poe as a member of the once prominent anti-Masonic party that thrived in the mid to late 1800s. And the preceding passage does not make that assumption seem too far-fetched, as it serves to make a mockery of the sacred bond and oaths adhered to by all members of the fraternity. I need to catch my breath. I'm laughing so friggin' hard. Mm-hmm. First, Montressor state that the movement was a grotesque one, which holds the dual meaning of being both ugly as well as the original Italian, wherein the term meant a piece of art that could be found in a grotto. Oh, I didn't know that.
Grotesque, yeah.
Grotto, yeah, all right. Yep.
As in grotto-esque?
Yeah. Ah, interesting.
Yep.
The image of the grotto as a small cave gives the impression that this move that Fortunato was doing was not natural, that it was distorted and in need of being hidden in a small cave or grotto. This move being a supposed mode of recognition among the fraternity is shown here as more of a floundering fall of a drunken fool than a serious means of determining if Fortunato is speaking with a brother Mason. Next, Montressor's revealing that he had been hiding a trowel speaks to his understanding of the Masonic fraternity, even though he's not a member. When Fortunato asked for him to give a sign, I just got it in my head what we were just talking about. Can't get it out.
See, so what he's asking him to give him a sign, much like you would ask somebody to pay their entry fee into the fantasy football league.
Exactly.
And he doesn't have it. Or the $5 for Discord.
Montressor had to know that the trowel was a significant symbol in Masonic teaching, one that once given could assure a brother that he was speaking with another of his kind, or he would have produced it from beneath his cloak. It's kind of what I'm getting at with the green screen, Joe. The drunken Fortunato sees it merely as a joke and does not wonder further as to why this man is carrying around a trowel. I want to be clear, Masons don't typically carry around freaking trowels.
No, but the protagonist does for a good reason.
Right. Yeah. After this mockery, Montressor's expression of "be it so" is not only wholly out of place, it nearly approaches blasphemy. Why is that?
Because I believe it's analogous. Well, I mean, depending on where you are around the world, we don't always say "so mote it be."
Correct.
Sometimes it's "be it so, may it be
so." Oh, really?
Like, whatever, right? Okay. So, and I think that was probably at the time.
Okay, so I guess people, I could see it, rather than saying amen, some people could see it as "so mote it be" or "be it so" as a mockery of religion. Okay.
Or
right?
A mockery of Freemasonry, because maybe at that time and place, that was kind of like the traditional Freemasonic termination of a prayer.
Okay. Right.
So he's kind of just making a mockery of it. Like, he knows enough about Freemasonry to be a jerk about it, basically.
Okay.
Like, here's a trowel.
It makes sense, I guess, then.
I know some brothers like that.
Oh, jeez.
You keep going, Joe.
Some of them play fantasy football.
And then do a one-star review.
Yeah.
Montressor's whole purpose is to murder a man in a cold and calculated manner as we are moving closer to this climax. Poe has his character use words. I knew you were going to be fucking snickered. No, it's... Poe has his character use words that Freemason would notice before any other reader might. Yeah, I guess you could see that. The Mason would definitely pick up on that, especially with the trowel thing. I think that would probably...
Well, and the overt way in which they're asking each other if they're Freemasons, I mean, it's very obvious.
Are you not of the craft? I mean, that's kind of something. It's a challenge of us. Yeah.
Come to my cave. I want to show you my trowel.
It's under my cloak.
Reach down beneath my cloak.
Jesus
Christ. Show you my trowel.
I can't deal with you today. Oh, it's too early in the morning for this shit.
Yeah, that was short enough where they won't shut that down, right?
Yeah.
You're probably all right, yeah.
Where'd I leave off, damn it? Words that are generally used and practiced throughout the... My son's calling. Words that are generally used and practiced throughout the fraternity are used here to usher a brother Mason toward his death at the hands of a person who has no care for the ancient practice and austerity of the fraternity. Let's see here. An end of my labor. A phrase with a syntactical?
Yep. Syntactical, yes.
A phrase with a syntactical... I only knew that because I knew the word tactical.
Oh, God.
The phrase with a syntactical shift from its use in Masonic ritual, Montressor's use of these words denotes that this deed he has completed has in fact been a, quote, labor. This was something that he had planned and set up from the beginning and definitely did not do in haste. Mm-hmm. Meaning he didn't rush it, right?
Well, it was premeditated. Like, premeditated. His whole plan all along was to bring this guy down to the catacombs and kill him.
And show him his trowel.
Show him his trowel in the process.
There is much calculation in the act of dismissing his servants to getting Fortunato down to the catacombs, hiding in a pile of bricks, and having... Oh, that, there you go. Hiding in a pile of bricks. I mean, that could have Masonic innuendo in it, too. And having the actual working tools with him that someone of his stature would not normally have on his person. Once again, Poe borrows terminology from the Masonic lexicon as meaning for the desolation of the principles of the craft. In Masonic ritual, it is only the worshipful master who can make pronouncements about work coming to an end or lodge preparing to close. Yet here, Poe has invested his murder with the prominence of the highest officer in the Masonic lodge. The elevation of Montressor's illustrates Poe's disdain for the craft and the investing of a crazed killer with a stature equal to a worshipful master of the lodge provides deeper proof that of Poe's feelings about the society that he clearly did not fully understand. This is pretty much the conclusion here. Against the new masonry. As the story concludes, Poe once again seems to take a deliberate strike at Freemasonry, but his clever wordplay artfully hides what should have been as much more profound definition of the new masonry. The assertion can be made that the double meaning here illuminates that Poe has destroyed his enemy Fortunato with a very teachings that he, as a Freemason, would hold inviolate. Not only has he destroyed Fortunato, but by turning the teachings of the craft against itself, Poe has destroyed Freemasonry and placed it with his own form, one of treachery, murder, concealment by the remnants of the dead. This new masonry that Poe has created serves to tear down the walls of secrecy that separate people and forces reconciliations from the past. Whether deserved or not, Fortunato is set to pay for his trespasses in a manner that becomes a warning of others that might act as he did, that might belong to a secret society, or that might be deserving of any special stature or standing in either public or private life. In The Cask of Armadillo, Edgar Allan Poe weaves... I had to throw it in there. Edgar Allan Poe weaves a tale of murder and deceit made all the more potent for its direct reference to the desolation of multiple aspects of Masonic teaching. While these facts might be up for dispute, it is clear that Poe knew enough about the teachings of Freemasonry that he was able to seamlessly weave concepts and images through his narrative that would catch an eye of all members of the fraternity, can't even talk, and make each one think twice before finding themselves sharing an equal portion of the fortunes of Fortunato. So that was a good one. I'm actually quite impressed with that. Hats off to you, brother Wayne Ross.
Yeah, it's really well done. I don't necessarily agree that, you know, Poe was showing. I mean, maybe he was part of the anti-Masonic party, right? And I could be completely wrong.
It was right
wrong
around
here.
That time, right?
Yeah,
it was
that time,
1800s.
But even if he wasn't, I mean, Freemasonry back then in the 19th century was synonymous with, like, you know, you expected men of stature, men that are pillars of society, affluent men to be members of the craft. And that's, you know, an incorrect assumption that persists to this day. Right, you could ask somebody on the street what they think about Freemasonry. They might be like, "Oh, well, your father had to be a Freemasonry, or you have to be well connected, or you have to be rich," and that's just not the case
to get into the fantasy.
Yeah, but it's just not the case, right? So I think back then, I mean, it made sense for Poe's narrative, even if he didn't have any negative opinion of Freemasonry, to cast that character who's murdered as a Freemason because he was rich, he was affluent, he was well connected. So it could just be that it made sense for the storyline. Do you guys know how he killed him, too?
No, how did he kill
him? That story? So he takes out the trowel
from underneath his cloak.
From beneath his cloak. And he puts the guy into, like, the corner of a catacomb, like in this little alcove, chains him, and then proceeds to build a wall and close him in, brick wall. With mortar, using the trowel.
And the cement of brotherly love.
Yeah, with the cement of brotherly love, and buries the guy alive. So, wow. They don't talk about that in the article, but that right there seems like something that's pretty inimical to Freemason, right? If you're a Freemason...
Say that three times fast.
And some non-Mason, or somebody who's impersonating a Freemason, builds a wall in front of you and, like, entombs you basically alive. That's a pretty crappy way to go as a Mason.
Mr. Montresor, tear down that wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
So I know we had a lot of goofing here, but we do have some life lessons in this little article of writing.
Yeah,
first
you have
and
to
foremost,
pay to win fantasy football.
That's what I got out of it.
You have to actually pay to be in the competition to win.
So, I'd say in this Edgar Allan Poe piece, I would say, number one, I would say that the first part of that whole little article we were reading kind of struck me that, you know, he wanted to kill this guy Fortunato so bad that he brought him down to the catacombs, but he found himself in the darkness as well. So in the way I take that is kind of like what I said before. Like, if you are going to do something dark and evil and you're going to do something heinous and bad, you're ultimately doing it to yourself too. You know, so if you go and plan this all out to kill somebody, it's going to affect you as well.
Yeah, you're destroying yourself.
You're destroying yourself in a sense, in your own morals and whatnot.
In effect, by building that wall, he was trapping himself in the darkness.
Correct.
For far longer than that of Fortunato.
Which brings me to point number two. You know, before you're about to do something, do your homework. Do some research, especially on...
Oh, here we go. Montrezor should have made a cursory Google search.
He should have made a cursory Google search before continuing his act. And then three, he probably should have checked his actions before he went and did something that he was going to regret and potentially could have been wrong in.
Right. Like, especially common knowledge stuff.
Like,
like you pay to enter a fantasy football league.
I miss having you up here as my second, and I miss Ken constantly going, oh, God, here we go.
Often duplicated, never replicated.
We can learn a lot from Edgar Allan Poe.
We could.
Where's that Paisani guy? He's like Curly Joe that came in to replace Curly, right?
Oh, he'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back, yes.
Saxton was like Shemp.
What?
Shemp.
The
Three
Stooges. Oh, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. When the main characters left, they brought in these other guys.
Right, yeah.
They were good. They had their own place, but not...
not the original.
So... Yeah.
You know what I learned from this whole poem thing?
Here we go.
It has nothing to do with fantasy football.
Okay.
Okay.
What I learned was that if I invite you into a cave to see my trowel, you probably shouldn't come.
Yeah.
What are we at, Ken?
We are at 50 minutes, exactly.
50 minutes. We have 10 minutes. What are we going to talk about for about 10 minutes? We got 10 minutes of just whatever the hell we want to say. We think we covered that one pretty good. I don't think we need to add any more to it. I mean,
that was a really good topic. That was very interesting.
It's a good book. The guy had some really good literature. I think I read that book back in high school. I had to like refamiliarize myself with it. But certainly, obviously, I wasn't a Freemason back at the time when I read it, and probably just glossed over the bits about "Are you a Mason? Or are you of the Masons?" But yeah, I mean, reading it now, it's pretty overtly Masonic in a couple different ways there. I certainly wouldn't want to be buried in the Chamber of Reflection by having one of you guys build a brick wall in front of me. It's when you think about it.
I don't know. I built the brick wall, it'd look like Homer Simpson's spice rack.
A lot of these, like, you know, kind of literary horror authors of the 19th century, you know, they were done. Those stories were done differently. Like, nowadays, it's like you watch a horror movie and it's got to be hack and slash.
Right.
Back then, it was really...
very psychological.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like you put yourself in the perspective of that victim. And it's like, yeah, we're going to bury this guy alive. I mean, that's pretty visceral.
With the exception, with the exception of one particular director who writes books and not writes books, he makes movies and stuff. And that
M. Night Shyamalan?
M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Yeah, he's a little bit more cerebral.
He's cerebral in his story.
No, for sure.
Writing.
He's had some stinkers, but some of his stuff has been really, really good. Yeah, he did have some stinkers.
What was
some
stinkers?
I think the Alien one with Mel
Gibson. Signs? That was great! I love that movie!
Not my favorite.
Really?
One was really good.
The Village.
The Village, but I didn't... The ending was a little... spoiler alert. The movie came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The monsters were freaking bulldozers.
No, what? Okay.
What?
No.
Yeah, they were doing, like, construction out there. Like, one point they thought it was a monster, and it was, like, somebody, like...
Oh, no.
A front loader or something.
Wow.
Yes, yes, you're right, yep. At least that was after she jumped the fence.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
But, all in all, I enjoyed it. I do like his... oh, Christ, the ones with Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson.
Oh, yeah,
and
The Sixth Sense.
Unbreakable. Unbreakable, and then Mr. Glass, and then...
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good trilogy.
That was a good one.
So those movies I like. Those are a little bit more cerebral than yours. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't like those slasher movies.
I've never liked those they kinds. Do
with the exception of The Purge. I love The Purge.
I mean, when I was a kid and we'd go to movies to see like Friday 13th and
they had
stuff
movies
like
when
that.
You were a kid?
Yeah.
talkies. Yeah.
They had the guy with the little monkey on the organ grinder going up top, making the movie go.
I thought it was like the Romans, when you'd go to the amphitheater.
Step right up, step right up.
Like, you'd go there because, like, you'd get a good little jump scare. You make fun of your friends that are, like, too freaked out. Occasionally, you'd see some graphic co-ed activity.
Ah, yes. Nudity.
So, here's one for you. I got one for you. This is a funny story. So, me and Phil Miller, worship brother Phil Miller, we decided one day when the very first Paranormal Activity came out, we were going to go see it.
Yeah,
we went to the Milford Mall. We're sitting there, right? And he's right at the end, is the very end of it, where he's like kind of creeping into the hallway. And, you know, you don't know where like she is, but he runs out of the room and he runs down the hallway. And right as she flung him toward the camera, I went, dude, and I grabbed him. And I mean, you should have seen, like, he squeezed the whole bowl of popcorn and it went off like a volcano in the air. Oh, it's hilarious. So yeah, I got him good, and then I was like, Phil, isn't that your ex-girlfriend? People behind us started laughing, but I've done that a couple times. I'm good for scaring the fucking shit out of people.
Yeah, I don't like to be scared. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. One or two things are gonna happen.
I did that to my ex-wife during the grunge. Remember that one? The grudge? The grudge.
Oh, yeah,
the
grudge.
When she freaking popped out from that closet or whatever the hell it was. My freaking ex was holding a Dunkin' Donuts styrofoam cup of hot chocolate.
Those crushies.
And I went, oh! She freaking squeezed that. Went off like a volcano.
No, I do shitty shit like that all the time.
Don't like to be scared.
I know.
I'm either going to crap myself.
My son got you.
Yeah, he did. I'm either going to crap myself or somebody's going to get hit. Yeah. Either way, there's going to be a mess and I'm going to have to clean it up.
Violent response. Yeah.
Oh, my kid came around the corner over there. Joe was in the fridge and he goes, boom!
Yeah, I don't like that.
He's all, you little shit.
That happened around Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah, your kids did that to me, too. They were hiding around the corner when I was coming up the stairs.
That's probably after they got me. I'm like, okay, now I got to get kids.
Like father-like kids.
Oh, shit. I got Liberty Ghost Hunters, too, and they came up that day. I was wearing that freaking mask standing behind the door.
Nothing scares those guys.
Oh, it scared them.
Oh, God.
There's nothing better than scaring the shit out of somebody and them going, oh, you son of a bitch!
Yeah. No, then there's nothing funnier than when somebody gets really pissed and says it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, That's when it's funny.
I did it to my father one day when I showed up at his house one day. He's in the house. He's sitting on the couch just minding his own business eating freaking mac and cheese or whatever he's eating. I came in with a fucking air horn and just went, bam! Oh, you little son of a bitch! And the best part is he couldn't close the recliner, so he started like
so he was like trapped.
Oh, he was trying to close the recliner. Freaking hilarious. Anyway, what do you say, Kenny? What do you say, Joe?
Let's wrap it up.
This was fun.
This was a lot of fun. Yeah, we'll quit while we're on top.
Before it gets too far off the rails and we start talking about fantasy football again.
Yeah.
For the original Freemasons podcast.
Oh, we should add that to the name.
The original?
Yeah.
We should?
Yes.
OG.
Because since we have this dispute going on with, you know, there's like everything.
Or. We do like they did with the Ghostbusters. They call it the real Ghostbusters. You remember that?
Yeah, the real Freemasons podcast.
We change our Instagram profile to like, I don't know.
Real FMP.
Yeah, real FMP.
I'm with that. The real or the original? Yeah. The real
I'm right, Worshipful Brother George Mundry signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
And I'm Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
I gotta get the fuck out of here.
See you.
Enjoy, friends.
Have a great day.